Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. My guest today is Andres Franco, who yesterday was named Artistic Director and Conductor for the Signature Symphony at TCC, only the second Artistic Director in the organization's history following the retirement of founder Barry Epperle. Franco has previously served as the Music Director of the Philharmonia of Kansas City from 2004 to 2010, the Associate and Resident Conductor of the Fort Worth Symphony Orchestra from 2009 through last season, and still remains the Artistic Director of the Fort Worth Symphony's Concerts in the Gardens Summer Series. He also serves as Principal Conductor of Caminos del Inca, a group devoted to the music of the Americas. He has conducted the National Symphony, the Bogota Philharmonic, and the Medellin Philharmonic in his native Colombia. And in this country, he's conducted the Houston and St. Louis Symphonies and participated in the Oregon Bach Festival and the Cabrillo Festival of Contemporary Music, to name a few. This past season, his performance of Aaron Copland's Appalachian Spring with the Fort Worth Symphony was named one of the top 10 performances of the year in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex by the Dallas Morning News. The TCC Board of Regents finalized his position as Artistic Director of the Signature Symphony yesterday, and he joins us today on Studio Tulsa. And I should mention in full disclosure that I'm a member of the Signature Symphony. Andres Franco is my guest today. Andres Franco, congratulations. This long process for the Signature Symphony is over, and you are now the new Artistic Director. Congratulations.
Thank you, Rich. It's a pleasure to be here with you, as usual.
Yes, and you know, this was a sort of a long process, and it's sort of a difficult situation because this orchestra's only known one conductor. You know, the founder has run the orchestra for, what is it now, over
30 years?
Almost
37 years. Almost 37 years.
Yeah, yeah. So what is that like, stepping into that sort of situation?
Well, you know, I have a great deal of respect for what he has done and what the orchestra has been able to achieve under his leadership. And it means that the process was done right because each of us got to see the orchestra at least twice. And that helps a lot. You know, it would be really hard for anyone to make a decision based on just 1 week after, as you say, you have had a music director who has had such a long tenure with your organization. So we got 2 weeks, so you got to see two sides of the same coin, so to speak, how we would do the classics series and then how we would do the pop series. And I think it helps a lot to do that. For me, it was very nice to be able to have Dr. Epperle involved in the John Williams concert. If you were not there, I mean, those of you listening who were not there, he was Mr. Darth Vader, and he conducted the orchestra. I think that was Darth Vader's debut in Tulsa, as far as I know. But it was wonderful to have him there, and we had a chance to talk, of course, because of his involvement in the concert. And one of the first things I did yesterday after the Board of Regents was over was to give him a call and you know, thank him for all he had done. And we will be seeing each other tonight. So I respect a lot what he has done, and my idea would be to build on that tradition that is so strong that I think is a very sound foundation for the future of the Signature Symphony.
I would assume because the process was so involved, and it's even perhaps a more involved process than you would, say, for a typical orchestra position where you have the board, you have advisory boards, you have musicians, you have all the usual constituencies, plus you have the college involved as well. So what are some of the things you outlined as goals that you would like to see the Signature, what your own personal goals and what you'd like to see the orchestra and yourself do together?
Yeah, and that goes back a little bit to why I was interested in the position, and it's because those are two of my favorite institutions, a symphony orchestra and a college. I have been always a big fan of education. Even when I was a piano teacher, I would go out and do recitals for people and just do for students, for young kids, just to get them interested in classical music, in piano music. But also, of course, when I became a conductor, that's something that I have done a lot. And I think the fact that you have a symphony orchestra within a community college is a great asset because you already have sort of built into your name and your mission community outreach, which is very important to me, and education, which is very important not only to me but to the future of orchestral music, of classical music. If we don't start getting the younger generation involved, then who's going to be listening to us, well, not to you and me, but to our successors 20 years down the road? So that's something that is very, very important that I really hope every arts organization, but in particular classical music organization, take it very seriously, is that we need to make sure that the youngest kids come to our concerts and start enjoying them a lot. And that's why I asked that we let children in for free for the John Williams concert. And then I added a little bit of an element of fun if they show up in costume. Just, you know, I mean, for free doesn't mean that you don't have to make some effort to do it. But that's the idea. The idea is to make sure that we reach everyone. And it's not just the young kids. You know, there are people of all walks of life and all ages that have never been to a signature symphony concert or to a symphony concert, period, or to a live concert. And I grew up with live music around just because I come from a musical family. So for me, there was no distinction, live music, recorded music. There was always music going on. And a lot of time on a weekly basis, we had sort of jam sessions where my father and my uncle would just take different instruments and play folk music or jazz or, you know, classical music. And that is wonderful. I mean, there's nothing that can replace the what you feel when you are at a live performance. There's nothing that can replace that feeling. You can listen to music at home. You can listen to the greatest orchestras and very good recordings and all of that. But that atmosphere you have surrounding you when you are at a live concert, that cannot be replicated. You have to go to a live concert. And that is what makes, to me, live performances interesting. It's just, again, that energy that it gets created by the musicians, by the conductor, and by the audience, because, you know, they are a very big component when you go to a concert. And I know that everyone who went to either one of my concerts, I know they felt that very special energy. I actually did get letters, emails, and Facebook messages from people who had never been to a symphony concert, and they said, I had no idea it was this amazing, and I will make sure I come back, and I come back with more people. And that is the idea. So to me, education, outreach, and performance itself are all connected. It's just they are different sides of the same organism. You know, it's just we are musicians. We perform. That's what we love. The audience obviously loves to come because, you know, without an audience, there would be no concerts, no live concerts to speak of. And my idea is to use that and sometimes do a little more outreach to the younger generation, sometimes more community outreach, sometimes more on the education side. But it's always the same. It's the highest quality possible of music making. It has to be passionate. It has to be engaging. It has to be visceral. It has to be, I would say, life-changing. You know, when you go to one of those concerts, you feel something happen inside of you. And we need to tap into that and to share it with the community at large.
So do you envision a future where Signature Symphony is doing family concerts? What would we call family?
Yes,
concerts?
Of course. And I have about 600 ideas per minute. So, you know, the problem is that the year is only so long.
Yes.
But I envision many different types of concerts, family concerts for sure. That's something that I've done quite a lot in Fort Worth, and education concerts, when you actually take either the students to a hall and perform for students of different ages, or you take the orchestra out to schools. And so the potential is limitless. It's just a matter of finding when and how we're going to do it. But yes, I see all of that. Also, different concert formats. One of the things that I got feedback on was, we love when you tell us all the pieces. And I talked quite a bit during the John Williams concerts, if you remember. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit of background. And it was very short, you know, short snippets here and there, so to let people know what John Williams was thinking when he was composing the piece, or what Steven Spielberg wanted from him, and things like that that really enhance your appreciation of the music. And the same with the classics, with the Tchaikovsky symphony, what to listen for, because it helps. You know, you don't need to know anything. If you just listen to good music, well played, you will enjoy it. But as with anything else, if you know a little bit, or you know where to direct your attention, you get even more out of it. So I could see concerts in which we perform one piece, let's say Dvorak New World Symphony. And this is just giving an example. I'm not saying that we're going to do that right away. But you can do the New World and talk a little bit about why is it important, what was going on at the time, maybe showcase some of the themes. And in that particular symphony, the themes recur in all movements. And if you don't know it, if you are not told that, and you may not realize it, it's not that easy to just say, oh, I heard this one before. Sometimes they are pretty hidden and not so obvious. But things like that, and it doesn't have to be a Dvorak symphony. It could be a Beethoven symphony, a Mahler symphony. It could be anything. There are many other ideas of doing outreach, even within our normal series. You can reach out to different organizations here in town and find out a way to partner with them so that maybe in one of the pieces you collaborate with one of them or one of the concerts. That would be something that I have always tried to do. I did a lot of that when I was music director of the Philharmonia of Kansas City, just because that synergy helps everyone. It helps both organizations. It brings the two families, so to speak, together, and it creates a new product that wasn't there before.
Getting back to the community outreach, a lot of times it's about bringing new people into that theater that have never been there. But there's also a group of people who would go to the theater, but it's sort of a daunting first time to walk through the door. And a lot of times orchestras feel like they have to go out in the community. Is that something you feel like that's a great first exposure by coming to a neighborhood or wherever and sort of saying, this is what this experience is about. It's nothing to fear. It's not elitist. It's not anything. It's just music. And, you know, I mean, is that something you subscribe to?
Absolutely. That's something that I have experienced a lot also in Fort Worth, because the Fort Worth Symphony does have a community outreach program, and they do play a lot of concerts in different settings. So churches or school gymnasiums, libraries, you name it, all around town where you have those barriers, those perceived barriers, because they don't exist. You know, it's just people thinking they have to behave a certain way or dress a certain way. The main thing is music, as you said. And if you like the music, you will come no matter what. So I think it is a great idea to bring the product, so to speak, to bring the music to a community so they can see it in their own environment. So they are accustomed to go to this particular church or school, and they see it every day, and then they listen to the music. Oh, this is great. Then it's more likely they will say, well, we want to hear this orchestra, and they will make the trip to whatever we play, which in our case is, of course, the PAC.
Mm-hmm. My guest today is Andres Franco, who is the new artistic director and conductor for the Signature Symphony. He was named yesterday by the Board of Regents, and he'll this coming fall will take over for Barry Epperly after a year-long search by the orchestra. You've just been named artistic director, but it's like immediately you have to jump into this because there's no season yet for next season, and I think that's probably one of your very first tasks, is to get a season together.
Absolutely, but at the same time, you can imagine when you submit your application, and you know, from the moment we sent our first email, it's been more like 2 years,
right.
Almost.
Yeah.
So from the moment you submit that application for the position, you start dreaming what we are going to do. And of course, about a year ago or so, it was announced how the search was going to proceed. So we had to program the performances, the concert that we conducted this current season. But you don't come up, I mean, at least I don't come up with just one program. I have 6, 7, or 8 in my mind that I want to do, and then you work with the orchestra and see which one makes the most sense at that particular moment for the search. So I would say I keep about 10 to 15 programs or possible programs in my mind of pieces that I would like to do. So yes, we have to get to work, but I already have a lot of ideas that I have been considering for a long time. Now, the next step for me is going to reach out to everyone, to all the constituents of the Signature Symphony family, because I want them to let me know what they want. And I think because we are in a search year, there's a lot of information that the organization has, because there was a huge deal of involvement from the audience. They have to fill out those surveys, and there were questions about what they wanted to hear, also from the musicians, and of course from the advisory board, from the TCC community, and from the Tulsa community at large. As you know, there were members who were not necessarily part of Signature Symphony that helped. So now is a great moment in the organization, because we can tap into all of that information and see what do people want to see us do and how my ideas fit into that. So my next step is going to be, yes, get to work very quickly on finalizing the season, but also reach out and get all of that information and get suggestions from everyone, because and it's not only one season. You know, we have many more seasons ahead. So I would like to get everyone to have input on what they want to hear, and then our job will be to find which season is the one that makes the most sense. Also, I had to make a presentation as part of the search sort of a 5-year plan, 10-year plan, 2-year plan, you know, just mm-hmm. to show where I wanted to go with the orchestra. And one of the things I propose is that we start thinking in terms of artistic planning in terms of 5 years out, so that you have a plan that will take you from now until 2020, and then from now until 2025. And of course, there will be adjustments. But because I had to make that presentation, I already had sort of at least 5 seasons, just not 100% complete, but just an idea of which pieces we need to. I went through all of the repertoire that was sent to me a year ago when I was programming my.
So you've seen what the orchestra
has
done.
I've seen what the orchestra has done, and I actually have. This is radio, so you won't see it, but I have a note here on my phone where I have every alphabetically all the pieces they have played in the last, 7 to 10 years. And I also have the pieces that have not been played and I think should be played that are very important to develop the orchestra and also for the audience to listen to. So I have all of those already in place. And again, it's going to be a matter of deciding when we do what. And this is for both the classics and the pops. They send me both, and you know, they send all the candidates, I imagine, the same information, which were scans of past years. So we knew what the orchestra has done and we would not be doing the same.
So if I can talk about that 5-year plan, in general terms, where would you like to see the orchestra, and I should mention the chorale, in 5 years, because your position also involves the chorale?
And that's a great thing, because I have always enjoyed working with choirs. That was something that I did a lot in Kansas City as music director of the Philharmonia of Kansas City. We presented lots of choral concerts, and I have not been doing so many in Fort Worth. We do have a Home for the Holidays concert that involves choir, but in my particular role, that was the only concert where I could use a choir, and I love the choral orchestral repertoire, so that's actually a big plus for me that we have access to such a fine group of singers and that they are part of the family. We don't have to go try to find a choir. We are a symphony and chorale. Yeah. So that's going to be wonderful. Talking about the 5-year plan, I can tell you what the core of the plan is. And it is, I love classical music. I love pops. I love orchestral music. And I know the orchestra loves playing it. And I know our audience loves going to the concerts. So my goal is to make sure that everyone in the Tulsa community and beyond knows about the orchestra and that we bring them in. And we will have different avenues. Community outreach, community concerts is going to be one of them. And also taking the orchestra out to play, maybe even outside the city limits. No, there are so many wonderful places around that you could play. And this is something that the Fort Worth Symphony has done historically. Just go to different places around, because then your name as an organization starts going around. So I would say one of the goals would be to expand our audience in all ways. Younger audience, wider audience, more diverse audience. People of all ages and walks of life are welcome to our concerts. And we will make sure that our programming reflects that. And we will make sure that if we need to make adjustments to concert formats in some cases, we do that as well. Because this is not just the future of the Signature Symphony. This is the future of orchestral music. How do we engage the entire community? How do we make sure that everyone knows about what we do and why it is so important? And that would be at the core of what I will try to do. So 5 years from now, I would love to see the orchestra playing many concerts. They could be just repeating the same repertoire we have done at the PAC and taking it somewhere. It could be somewhere in the community. It could be a shorter concert. It could be a shorter concert with multimedia. It could be just one piece with me talking about the piece and what makes it important, or, you know, historically, or what's fun for me to do, or the musicians. You know, why what's fun about playing the trombone solo in Mozart's Requiem or Ravel Bolero, any mm-hmm. of those things. It's great when you hear from the conductor and the orchestra what makes them tick, what makes them come back over and over to the same type of music. So that could be thrown into the mix. And again, making sure that everyone in Tulsa and around is aware of the wonderful organization we have and having fun.
My guest today is Andres Franco, who is now the new artistic director of the Signature Symphony and Chorale. He was named yesterday, and he's our guest again today on Studio Tulsa. Now, you'll be going back to Fort Worth for the Concerts in the Garden summer series that you're very much involved with the Fort Worth Symphony Orchestra. I see you're conducting maybe about a third or maybe a little more than a third of the programs this summer. That's right?
Just about, yeah. It changes from year to year. Some years I conduct pretty much everything. This particular year, we have a number of guest conductors who will be coming with the different groups.
Mm-hmm. Are you still planning to be a part of your New World music group, the Caminos del Incas?
Caminos del Incas, yeah, absolutely. That's one of the nice things about the 21st century is that Caminos del Inca is based in Chicago. That is our where the non-for-profit was incorporated. So we are a Chicago, Illinois corporation. But of course, I've lived in Fort Worth for the entire time where this existed. And when we present concerts, we just either assemble a group of musicians and travel, or an orchestra presents us. So it's not like I have to be there all the time in Chicago or in Fort Worth or anywhere, really. Just the administrative part can be done from anywhere in the world, and then the conducting part happens just whenever we have a performance, which would be usually just 1 week at the most, as it works.
You have this great body of knowledge of New World music, of music from Latin America and Hispanic music. And I'm wondering, this is our fastest growing community in Tulsa, and there's not really a whole lot of cultural outreach to this growing community. Is that something you're going to be doing a lot of, do you think?
I would never impose my personal tastes on any organization. I, of course, have ideas, and if that is something that we feel as a family we need to, then it's very easy. I do that on a regular basis. So if that's something that we are interested in, that would be a very, very, very easy thing for me to. But at the same time, I don't see the role of an artistic director as somebody who dictates what is going to be done, but more to inspire and to find what the family wants to. And when I say family, I'm talking about the musicians, I'm talking about the audience, I'm talking about the TCC community at large, the Tulsa community at large, the advisory board. So it's a very large family, and we will have to make those decisions as a family, as opposed to me saying we are going to do this, 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 and that, because it doesn't work that way. This organization has existed for 36 years, so we need to make sure that as an organization it is very strong and continuous. And of course, there's going to be some new flavors in the mix, but it's not something that I will say we need to do this, we need to do that. It's something that I'm going to be asking the question, what do we need to do and how I can help direct the energies of the organization so that it happens.
Yeah. Now, you earlier referred to your phone and the pieces that the orchestra hasn't done. What are some of the personal things you want to do as conductor of a Signature Symphony, sort of a focus on a composer, or what exactly? What are some of the things that are sort of in your wheelhouse as far as goals? You said, this is something I want to accomplish while I'm here.
One of the most important things for an orchestra to do is to have a varied diet, so to speak. So you're not doing just one type of music. And let's talk about the pops, for instance. Because of my role as a conductor, I have worked with artists that range from Colombian folk music to U.S. country and Western music to rock, jazz. I even had a heavy metal phase when I was growing up, just I like listening to heavy metal, to musicals, Broadway, to film scores. So there's such a broad range of popular music that you can program, and the audience is so broad also, because some people really love jazz. I love jazz. Some people love rock, classic rock, more modern rock. I also like rock. Some people love country. Maybe there's a place for that. Some people love just movie, film music, which we did with John Williams. But, besides John Williams, there's a myriad of other composers and very interesting pieces. So just making sure that each season has a little bit of everything, and to make sure that we are reaching different audiences and making sure that it is always a very good product, so that whoever comes, even if you are not a fan of John Williams, although I know who isn't, you will still like it, because it was such a great concert that if you were not a fan when you came in, you were a fan by the time you walked out. So that is something that I want to make sure that we have variety. on the classical series is the same thing. Orchestras need to be playing some of the classics because it develops how you interact with within the orchestra. So you need to do at least some Baroque music. I'm not saying you have to do a whole concert or only Baroque music, but you have to at least some Baroque music on a three-year period. With some. You need to be able to play that very well. You need to play Haydn, Mozart, and Beethoven. You need to play Brahms. You need to play Tchaikovsky, you need to play Rachmaninoff, you need to play Mahler, you need to also know all the American composers that are very, you know, Bernstein, Copland, Barber, all of the classics. But you also need to know all of the American composers who are not so well known, William Grant Still, and there are so many others that have written wonderful music. And the same goes for pretty much every period. So in the list of composers that we have done not so much lately. Mm-hmm. I see Brahms has been absent for a number mm-hmm. of years. No Brahms symphonies, in, you know, at least in the programs I reviewed, or concerti or overtures. Sibelius is another one. You have done actually a lot of Mahler, which is very interesting. You could easily, based on what you have already played, you could easily complete cycles. Mm-hmm. You are very close to completing, or we now are very close to completing, all Tchaikovsky symphonies, because we did 4 and 5 this season. So, and you have done 2
6.
As well.
We've done 6 too.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I think, again, if you start thinking in terms of 3 years, 5 years, and maybe make sure that you have cycled through the most important repertoire, but also that you have left room for those pieces that are wonderful and the audience is going to love, and you have not done before. There are many pieces that are in my mind right now that I know I would like to program. There's a wonderful concert version of Porgy and Bess, orchestrated by Andrew Litton, and that involves the choir and soloists. And that's such an American classic that I think it needs to be done in concert, not as a full opera, but in concert, just because the music is wonderful and this particular orchestration is great. Thinking about American composers, there's a composer called Peter Boyer. He has a piece called Ellis Island that is about the history of everyone who came through Ellis Island. So you see images of the actual people who came, and he went through the archives and he took all the stories and then he condensed some of them and he decided which ones were the ones that interested him the most. So this is a multimedia concert where the orchestra plays, there are actors acting each one of the stories while you see images. That's one piece that I would very much like to. Mahler symphonies, of course, for all orchestras are very, very important. So it would be great to why not do a Mahler cycle, not in 1 year, not in 2 years, but you know, in 10 years, you can do one symphony per year and complete the cycle. Sibelius is another composer that the Signature Symphony hasn't done. And even Beethoven, looking at the programs that I have, the Symphony No. 9 has not been done. Pastoral Symphony No. 6 hasn't been done recently.
I don't think 6 has been done, but 9
not
has
in
been
the
done
last
a few years,
five or 6 years. So. Yeah. That would be my idea, to expand the programming window so that we make sure that we are playing all the pieces that an orchestra should be playing, and also the ones that I know the audience is going to love and the orchestra is going to love, but we haven't had a chance to perform.
All right. Well, we wish you great success, and I assume we'll be seeing a season very soon. What's the timeline for having a season next
year? Well, I today's my first day technically, so as soon as I'm done with the interviews,
five?
By 5, yeah, you'll get a season by 5. No, we have been already thinking about guest artists, because that you also have to throw that into the mix. Who is available when, and mm-hmm. and start playing around so that you end up with a balanced and exciting season, so that everyone has something to look forward to, the audience, the musicians, and the conductor.
All right. Well, we wish you great success. It's always a pleasure to have you with us.
Pleasure is mine. Thank you so much.
Andres Franco is the new artistic director and conductor for the Signature Symphony and Chorale at TCC. For more information about the Signature Symphony, visit signaturesymphony.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.